I strongly disagree with what you're telling me right now, but how can I love you and show God's love?
But the thing I'm learning, the thing that the Lord was teaching me this week is,
and so I was like, oh no, Jesus, I don't know if I can like do this, but
money. But if it's God's will, it's God's bill. That's what I say. So,
and you know that term, take that leap of faith. Like, I know it's cliche, but man, take that leap of faith. Don't overcomplicate it.
Will you say yes to his calling? You are now listening to Conversations with Ryan.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan, and this is my friend Daniel.
Hi.
Hey, Daniel. We're glad that you're here. So, guys, I met Daniel at my Bible college, Karis Bible College, out here in Woodland Park, Colorado. It has been the most life-changing experience moving out here and going to Karis Bible College. And I met Daniel out here because when I got to meet Daniel, I got to see a man of intentionality, integrity, passion for the Lord, and just wanting the best for others. And I feel like today on this episode, we have something great that can really bless you guys, whether you guys are believers in Jesus Christ or not, not affiliated with Jesus Christ believers at all. I still think you should listen to this because I feel like this will be very beneficial to your journey wherever you are at. So without further ado, Daniel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in Ogden, Utah. My family, we were raised in a Pentecostal church where basically I was always taught every time you sinned, you had to go back to God and ask forgiveness again and again and again. And you really didn't feel the freedom of loving God or knowing that God loved you because you always felt like you was messing up or being a failure. I got introduced to Andrew Womack, let's see, probably 20 years ago. And when I heard the message, once saved, once you accept Jesus, that you're saved, you don't have to keep going back to God and asking to get cleansed again and again. So that was a real eye-opener. And we moved here. We moved to Colorado 13 years ago for my kids to go to Karis. And they all graduated, 16, 17, 18. But in between there, I was just starting to think on how much God really loved us. Not to the point that I learned when I was in school. That really helped a lot.
Yeah.
But before that, we had met a lady. She loved Kenneth Copeland, big time into Kenneth Copeland. And she talked to us about watching the words of our mouth, controlling our words, keeping strife out of our house. And that really was a help as far as how we talked to each other. It seemed like any time me and my wife would get in a fight, it seemed like we would catch ourselves and get it fixed right away. Sometimes there would be things that, I mean, I wasn't the perfect husband, but there was a few times when my wife would say, she would decide that there was something that I would do, and she would say, okay, is it worth it to fight over, or is it something I can just let go? And so a lot of times she would let it go, and that was a big eye-opener, you know, for to know that she loved me enough to say, I'm just going to brush this off. I'm not going to let it affect our relationship. But as I was growing, there was a time before, in fact, I have to tell you, it's real funny because before me and my wife met, I would go to church and I could shine. Then I'd go home and be like not a Christian.
Right.
In fact, at one point my wife said, you're just a two-faced Christian. She says, I never see you open your Bible.
Wow.
And so that started waking me up to realize, wait a minute, I need to take this a little more serious. And I remember then I'd read a book about damaged emotions. And I had some things happen to me in my life that was not so great that really affected me. Well, my dad, I was 14 when I lost my dad. Right. And a lot of people would put the blame on God. They would say it was God's fault. Our God took him because he needed him. I just praise the Lord that I did not take that as an attack on God. I just figured, okay, I can see my dad was an awesome man, you know, so I could see why God needed him. But then when I realized that it wasn't God that took him, that did a big change for me. Hearing Andrew talk about that was a big change for me. Mm-hmm. And just walking in love with my kids, the way how God helped me with my kids and how he walked with us through that. I remember watching my wife, my kids would do something wrong or fight.
Right.
And my kids and my wife would go, okay, first of all, she'd make them apologize to each other until she knew they apologized. Mm. And when they knew that, when she accepted that, then she would make them go to their room. And she'd say, I want you to ask God to forgive you, and then you need to forgive yourself.
Wow. It was
really awesome. Wow. And I learned a lot just from that. And like my wife would correct me. Oh, gosh. It was funny because she would go, I would do something to one of my kids. She says, go fix it. Mm. I didn't do nothing. You go fix it. She would make me go fix it. And I think all those little situations through my life really helped me to get to where I was. I remember when my wife was in and out of rehab and in the hospital, it was like she went in January 6th, I think it was 2021, because that was the year she passed. So, and when she was in those, they had limited visiting rights, and I would have to go stay at my sister's house. And I remember when that started, God said, when you go over there, you walk in love. Because my wife was very clean, very meticulous about how our house looked all the time. Mm. My sister wasn't so tidy. And God says, you just walk in love. Don't judge them, just love them. And I'll tell you what, that was such a beautiful thing. And so every night after I got home, there'd be something I would fix in their house. I fixed a faucet. I fixed different things in their house. And when it was all said and done, when my wife was going through everything, the doctors would tell me, she's not going to make it. She was off and on the ventilator 3 times. And every time they says, she's not coming off of it. She's going to be a vegetable. And she would come off of it. And she would always say, I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord all the time. And it was incredible. And my kids, sorry.
All good. All good.
My kids told me that I showed them what it was like to be a real husband, because I was there for her the whole time. She was in and out of the hospital. She was in and out of rehab. In fact, one of the nurses, when I would go in to see my wife, she goes, there's that loving couple, just has to be together.
Oh, man.
In fact, I remember when she was in the rehab, they had a limited time of visiting. And I remember on Saturday nights, Hallmark would do a new movie.
Wow.
And so we'd always use that excuse to stay longer. We never always watched the movie, but yeah. It was pretty awesome. And I know that during that time, God was really growing me. I was spending a lot of time in worship, just loving on him. And I remember the night before she passed, I remember I was in my room worshiping, just having a good time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, I just saw her get up out of the bed. All the weight was gone, full of life. She had energy. And I said, yes. And I get home and she died. I got there to the hospital that day, she died. And it took me 2 years to realize that God was showing me what she really did. I mean, can you imagine getting out of that body?
Yeah. Wow. Let's back up a little bit. I love what you said about your wife speaking words of life, because it's true. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and those mm-hmm. who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. And it seemed, I could see that through your relationship with God, you both seeking your relationship with God, it brought good fruit. Interesting thing, the verse right after Proverbs 18:21, where it talks about death and life from the power of the tongue, it talks up the next verse is he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor mm-hmm. from the Lord. And the cool thing is the testimony of you and your wife, and bless her heart, and I know she's looking down shining bright towards you. It's just beautiful how God works all things together for good. And there was a story, and I believe that story of you and your wife in the past and how you loved her, how you cared for her, how you've been there for your children that are now young adults. I believe like it's a legacy for the generations in your family to come and other people that have watched your story. And then
I'd been spending a lot of time with the Lord during that time. You know, once my wife passed, my kids are like, Dad, don't you think you're going nowhere? I don't know why. I just kept saying, I'm gonna live to be 120, be like I am now.
Mm.
There ain't no chance I'm dying soon. And so when I moved my daughter to Mesa, Arizona, my brother-in-law was doing Uber and Lyft.
Right.
And I thought, I could do that. That would be a lot of fun. I'd get to talk to people. And so so that afternoon, I told my daughter, I said, but you know what? Because they were talking about that if my credit wasn't good, I could qualify and just rent a car. I told my daughter, I said, I don't really want to rent a car. I want to buy one. Mm. She said, well, see if you qualify. So I put an application. I qualified. And the Sunday before I went, the Lord said, you're going to know the car when you see it. Wow. It's okay. So I get there, and I'm looking at all these cars. And the main thing I looked at was the back seats. I wanted something that would be comfortable for people to get in and out of. And so I saw this car. I just fell in love with it. It ended up being a Hyundai Sonata Hybrid 2015. It had 98,000 miles on it when I got it.
Wow.
It now has 247,000 miles on it. And guess what? Everyone gets in and they think it's a brand new car.
Wow.
When I found the car, I told the salesman, and the salesman says, that car is not available. Wow. And I said, what does that mean? And he goes, it's either on hold for another customer or it's been sold. I said, okay. And so then he went in the office said, oh, it was on hold for the 13th and 29th of March when I was there. And they said, we can release it. Mm-hmm. So they let me have it. And then as I decided I was going to do the Uber Lyft thing, it was so funny because I'd started the application in Arizona. And they told me when I started to hit the button to start, said, oh, you don't qualify here because I was in Colorado. So I had to start all over. But it only took a week and I was back. I was on the road. I've been doing it 2 years now. And when I started, even this was before the Bible college, but when I started, the Lord says, I want you to love the people.
Right.
He says, don't judge them. Just love on them. And I'll never forget one of my first customers. It was amazing. She, her and her husband was in the military. And she gets in my car and she says, I need you to take me. We were going to Manitou Springs. She was getting marijuana. And she goes, and as we started talking, she goes, I hope you don't judge me for this. But I thought, and then she just started telling me her life history. I was just like, whoa. And I was, wow, this woman had been through a lot. And as she was telling me, I'm like, and he says, this is just for you. That's what God told me. He says, you don't need to tell people everything about what you hear. Just love on these people. And so as I was talking to the woman, she said she had super high anxiety. And if she drives a long distance, she'd have to get out of the car and breathe. And I said, so how would you can get home? And she says, oh, I don't know. And I says, well, why don't you plan a round trip? I'll take you home. Really? You would do that for me? And so I had her plan a round trip. And as we're on the way home, I said, you know what? As you just fall in love with Jesus, I said, just keep building your relationship with him. They were saved in Italy.
Wow.
And I said, you just keep building your relationship with Jesus. Just fall in love with him. And just let him love on you. I says, that anxiety you're feeling, it's going to fade away. And we got to the house, and she goes, look at my hands. I says, what's wrong with your hands? She goes, nothing. She says, you gave me more peace on this ride than I've ever had. And she says, I'm not even sweaty. She says, I usually never sit in a car that long and be that peaceful. I says, that's just Jesus. Wow. And I said, that has nothing to do with me. And I says, it's because God's with us. And she says, thank you so much. She wanted me to be a writer every day, but I said, I don't know how to do that. I haven't seen her since. But it was just a God thing.
Yeah.
And then as we started going to Karis and learning about how much God loves us, it really put a love for God in me I've never had. Just loving him and wanting to be more intentional about being with him.
Yeah.
Spending time with him and loving him. I don't know how much I've covered.
No, I appreciate this. I actually wanted to respond because a lot of this is so good that I really wanted to respond. I love how you would talk about the Uber driving and how much of a blessing the job has been to you. And so my next question for you is, as you've been embarking on this journey of being an Uber driver, has there been any pushback from any of the customers? And how have you responded those moments? And I feel like you've touched on it a little bit, but tell us a little bit more.
As far as I have had a couple customers get in my car, and they said they really don't believe in God. They really don't believe in him. And I said, well, you know what? I would say, well, he still believes in you.
Wow.
And I would respond with, I would not get in the defensive and say, there is a God, you've got to know. I would just love on him. And I says, well, I pray that one day you find him for yourself. You know, I remember a customer getting in my car. This was really funny. He got in my car and he goes, I've been in your car before. I says, you have? I says, yeah. And he goes, you know, me and my girlfriend, we're working out our relationship, you know, trying to clean up our act. And he says, I've been going to AA and I believe there's a higher power. But he says, I think the Bible is just a bunch of good stories. Mm-hmm. And I started to respond and the Holy Spirit said, shut up. I says, what? No, I have got plenty to say here. And he says, nope, I'm working on him. You let me work on him.
Wow.
And I remember, in fact, just recently, I had a guy get in my car. And I was talking about God and different things. I don't even remember what my conversation was. But he says, you know, me and God aren't on talking terms right now.
Right.
And I says, you know what? Well, let me tell you, he hasn't left you. Yeah. And I says, even if you are blaming him for something that's happened to you, or if you're just mad at him, or if you think you've done something that hurt him and you don't think you can talk to him, he's just waiting for you to come back.
That's so good. He just wants
to have a conversation with you.
That's so good.
And that particular time, I really believe that guy was crying when he got out of the car. I couldn't see him. It was dark. But he said, well, thanks for the good conversation. And there have been times when people have got in my car and God says, I don't want you to say anything. Just let my light shine. And basically, like, let him shine through me. And I know that there was one question you had on there about, have I ever led anyone to the Lord in my car? And I have not. But I have planted plenty of seeds. I have told them. There's been a few. In fact, God has me writing in a book all some of these incidents. But there has been a few that they said, well, I really don't know God. I says, but you know what? He wants to know you. And I says, all you have to do is receive the fact that he died on the cross and rose again for you. And that he loves you. And just accept him for what he did for you. And I says, and you can be saved. But when I think his name is John. But he holds those things in the park where he feeds the hungry.
Yeah.
And I went out with him after a men's group at River Rock. And one of the guys, everyone goes, you just got spoiled. And I go, I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, what happened was this guy, I was helping him with his food and he was sitting down and that. And I says, is there anything that you need help with or anything? He says, I want that Christian thing.
Wow.
And I says, have you never said the sinner's prayer? He goes, no. I'd like to. I says, okay. So then I got to say the sinner's prayer with them.
Come on.
And then I went around and was telling people, hey, this man just accepted Jesus. You know, I wanted to make a big deal about it. I didn't want it to just be, you know, little, because man, the Bible says the angels in heaven are celebrating when someone accepts him. And I think one of the things, I mean, I've had over 7,000 customers since I've been doing the Uber thing. And out of all those customers, I know that every one of them got a touch of Jesus, whether it was me being silent or just trying to work with them. I had a guy a couple weeks ago. He was going in to get a tire fixed. And he was telling me that he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to Amazon. Mm. And he really would like to get this taken care of quick. And I asked him if he wanted me to plan a round trip. He says, well, I don't know how long I'm going to be. I said, well, that's up to you. I says, I do know you have to pay for it. But if you don't mind, I'll wait. And, you know, I don't know how much. It ended up being 2.5 hours. His trip went from $6 to $54. Wow. But he was so thankful that I waited, because it ended up being like 7 o'clock when he got his thing, you know, got his tire done. And I had told him when he had went into Walmart, I says, you know what? I think if you go to Discount Tire, it'll be faster. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, I've already paid. And so I hope next time he decides, nah, I'm not going to wait this long. Because all he had to do is have a tire replaced. But anyway, he just thanked me and thanked me over, and I just kept feeling bad because he paid so much.
Yeah.
But then as I realized that he was more appreciative, because if he would have had to wait for another Uber driver, like he got back to his car at 7 and get the tire on, go home, eat, and go to bed, right?
Yeah.
So if he would have had to wait for another Uber driver, that could have been a half hour to 45 minutes. And who knows, you know, how fast they would have got there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So overall, I think he was very grateful that I waited. Because I went in to check on him one time because someone said, oh, all the tires have been fixed. So I went in to make sure he was still there. And he goes, do you need to leave? I says, no, I'm good if you're good. He goes, I'm good. It's okay. So I waited. But it was 2.5 hours that I waited. He could not believe I waited that long.
Can I share a little something? Like,
sure.
The fact that you did that, what was coming to my mind is that you were dwelling with somebody, you were being right there for somebody, and that's being Christ in action, like being Christ in you in action. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome that you did that. I believe that really did plant a beautiful seed in that man's heart. So that's awesome. I love that. How would you encourage any other brother or sister in the Lord that wants to make a greater impact in the secular environment for the Lord? How would you encourage them?
I would say the biggest thing that I can see in my life that's helped me through this is just love on people. First of all, you need to learn to love yourself and know that God loves you and that he's in you and that he's just in love with you and he wants time with you. And as you're reaching out to other people, just try not to look at like how they're dressed or what they look like or how many tattoos they have, or just look them in the eyes of God. As Jesus looks at you, look at them and love on them. Because as you love, as you let Jesus shine through you, whether you get to be that witness to them or whether you get to talk to them, they're going to see that love.
Yeah.
And they're going to want it. It's just like, as I've been ministering to people in my car, they've said they've had relatives or friends or somebody that knew God. And they said, you shine just like they do.
Wow.
Or some of them, I've had some that are got that very religious thing. And I says, you know what? It's not about a religion. I says, the biggest thing I could tell people is don't live your life like a religion. I says, let the love of Jesus shine through you. Because if you let that light of Jesus shine through you, it's going to be a witness to the other people. Oh. It's going to be something that's going to minister to them. It's not what we do, it's how we shine. Because I feel like what's helping me the most is just letting the love of Jesus shine through me. Amen. Not trying to make a big advertisement and say, you got to do it this way. I tell people all the time, it's not how you do it. It's just loving Jesus. That's what I think makes the biggest impact on people. It's loving on them. Amen. And just, you know, just, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had people in my car and they needed to do an extra stop. And I'll just say, oh, and they can't figure out how to add it on the thing. I said, don't worry about it. Just tell me where you need to go. And I'll take them there, let them get their stuff, and then go back on the ride. But I do that many times with customers. Sometimes the GPS or the Uber ride has got it backwards. And they'll be at a different location than what originally they were supposed to be. And so I'll just say, well, give me your address. And said, wait, you're not canceling? I said, I don't cancel. I said, I take care of my customer. I said, you're the most important part of my day is taking care of you. You know, and I think working in customer service for so many years has been a benefit. Because I can see when people have had a bad day. I remember one of my customers, he had a very strong accent, and I asked him where he was from, and he snapped. He goes, what does it matter where I'm from? He says, if I was black or Japanese, you wouldn't ask me that question. And I just let him talk. And then when he got done, he goes, he was getting out of the car, and he goes, you know what? I'm sorry for my attitude. He says, I shouldn't have jumped on you like that. And he says, I'm sorry. I says, that's okay. I says, not a problem.
Wow.
And it's just letting him shine. Being patient with people, just loving on them. Because you don't know what kind of day they've had. You know, because some people have gotten my car and they don't say one word. And I just say, okay. I'll say hi and how are you? And they'll say fine. And that's all they get. I have one son that doesn't carry on conversation very well. The rest of them, I mean, I can talk all day. They'll listen, talk back. And my one son, in fact, went back in the day when we weren't so good with bills and they would call and ask for money and stuff. We'd have my one son answer the phone because he'd say, no, they're not here. Bye. He'd just hang up. That was really bad, but.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yeah, so.
The love of Jesus.
I'm a talker anyway, but I do know it's been a real help to me to be in that communion with God and being able to know when I'm supposed to talk and when I'm not and what words I'm supposed to say. Because when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it's just like, I don't know if you remember this class, when Carrie Pickett was in the class one day and she says, you know, when every time you talk to people, you're talking about yourself, you're selfish. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. And so I realized I do a lot of talking about myself, but not me. I talk about what Jesus done, but I don't know anything about anybody else. So then that's when I started asking people, well, what's your story? And God has really opened my eyes to a lot and made me realize, wow, it's not all about me. But I never was. But I mean, it was more an eye-opener to realize that God is just awesome.
Yeah.
and what he's done in other people's life. And I don't remember who, one of them said something about, you know, you, like for me, I haven't been through a lot. I've experienced a little bit of stuff from the world, but not a lot.
Mm.
And I hear stories from people when I hear about one guy, he, two different people I've talked to, their life stories, they were into witchcraft, they're in all kinds of stuff. And when they found Jesus and found that peace, it just was such an awesome experience. And I thought, I've never experienced what it's like to be in the world without him.
Wow.
I mean, I ventured out a little bit. I had a few days when I went drinking.
Mm.
Not a lot. In fact, my wife gave me the ultimatum. It was alcohol or her at one point. And I chose her. Wow. But I had just got a taste of alcohol, and people were saying, it's okay to drink. Even if you're a Christian, it's okay. And so I thought, okay. So I went a little wild for a minute, but not too bad. But now I look back on that, and I says, why did I do that?
Mm.
You know, why? Because just living for him is such an awesome peace. Just yeah. loving on him, just being in his presence all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know if I did I answer the question?
More than enough. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That was good. Yeah. Well, right. Do you want to go ahead and pray us out and pray for brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there being a witness to people in the love of Jesus? Like, just would you like to pray for that?
Sure.
All right.
Father, I thank and praise you, Lord, that you are an awesome God, that you just love us so much. And God, I pray for our brothers and sisters out there. I pray for even those that don't know you yet, that they will find you, that they will find what a loving Father you are and how much you just love us, God. God, and even with our brothers and sisters that know you, God, help them to get deeper in their relationship with you, that they find that love that you have for them, that caring that you have for them, that you just want to spend time with them. You just want a relationship with them, just like they want a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You just want to get to know them, and you want them to get to know you and how much you really care about them and how much you really want to bless their socks off, because you're such an awesome God. And I thank and praise you, Lord, for each one that's hearing this, that you touch their lives, for you, that they are touched by you, Lord, and that something we have said will be an encouragement to them, that they will be strengthened in their relationship with you. And we praise and thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Daniel, for being on here today.
You bet.
And yeah, well, guys, just be encouraged and just keep it simple with the love of Jesus and go deeper in his love for you. Thank you and have a great day.
Will you say yes to his calling? You are now listening to Conversations with Ryan.